Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This
It's that time of week.
Yeah.
7:10 now. Joe and Cindy Farini join us each week this half hour to talk about marriage in their My Marriage Matters segment. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
So what was it like after the first year of being married to Cindy? Pretty easy? No conflict?
Oh, I'll tell you what. We had a lot of adjustments to make, but it was really good.
I put you in the hot seat, bro. Sorry. I just couldn't resist.
I know that. That's okay. It's been a wonderful journey. And we're going to be approaching our 40th anniversary here pretty soon, and I wouldn't replace one day of that.
Well, and you know, I'm not surprised to see that somebody's written to you all asking about the first year being hard and that they're both unhappy. How often do you encounter that as a theme in your teaching on marriage?
Well, actually, we hear that quite a bit. And so I think it's kind of normal for everybody to be concerned about their marriage once in a while. But I think in this specific case, we would definitely need to get to know this couple more. But because we don't know this couple at this time, I think we need to answer this question in really some generalities. For example, the person that's submitting this question might be somebody who might be more dramatic on the spectrum of emotions. When they express themselves that they're very unhappy, I need to know where that's coming from. So we just need to know these people more. But it certainly is not unusual to have good days and bad days and good weeks and bad weeks and, you know, so on and so on, but to be at the point where you're even thinking about quitting is very concerning. And so I think this is a very serious question. I think the good thing, though, in this question is that they recognize that it's going to take some work to make this marriage work. And oftentimes when we hear similar things like this, and as we listen to their issues, it becomes pretty clear that they're not happy about certain things. And the operative word here, of course, is happy. And we remind them when we talk to people like this and inform them that one of the primary benefits or one of the primary objectives of marriage is not to make you happy, but rather to make you holy. And I remember that, I mean, this just happened to me just, I think, one of our last conferences I was at. And I was introduced to a couple who clearly they were hurting, they were concerned, there was great distress on their faces. And in fact, the husband, the first words out of his mouth was, and this was a guy who was now in his third marriage, and he stated that he was going to pursue a divorce. And when I asked why, he said, "I just can't make her happy, and she deserves to be happy." And I asked him, "Well, do you love your wife?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I love her a lot." And then I turned to the wife and I said, "Now, you just heard your husband say that I love you. Do you believe that?" And she says, "Oh, yeah, I love him too." And I
and
said,
you're
you
like,
know,
well, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
I'm teasing.
Well, yeah, basically, I said, you know, we're at a good starting point at this point in our discussion, because I told both of them that many couples go into marriage thinking that their spouse will make them happy. And I said that, you know, that's an unrealistic expectation to have. I mean, you can never hang your hope for happiness on another person. I mean, that's just way too much to ask of anybody. That puts way too much pressure on the individual and on the marriage in general. And for this couple, I then said that, you know, one of the primary purposes of marriage is that each spouse needs to be grown individually in their relationship with the Lord. And we need to be mirroring God's image in our respective lives. And then as a couple, we need to be mirroring God's image as well. And, of course, part of conforming to the image of Christ is that we are to become holy as God is holy, which is what it says in 1 Peter 1:16. But that thought, Brian, that thought alone, that they needed to pursue holiness in their marriage was a complete revelation to them. And immediately at that point, that changed the whole complexion of the conversation. And it was at that point that they could begin to focus on the Lord and what the Lord could do for them, rather than taking the eyes off of themselves. And that's a happy place to be.
And you know, Cindy, I'm just picturing a lot of wide-eyed people going, "Wait a minute, I thought marriage was about making each other happy. What are you talking about?"
Well, sure. Well, I think there should be a lot of times of happiness in marriage, but that isn't the goal of marriage. I think the goal of marriage is really, if we're the representative of Christ and the church and an example to that, then we need to recognize that our obligation is to show others one in our marriage, what does restoration look like? What does reconciliation look like? Those all will bring happiness, but in the midst of that, we're not happy, you know? So I think we have a big responsibility in our marriages if we want to use our marriages as a reflection of who God is. And we have a great opportunity to be able to do that. I feel like this couple, you know, they want to quit. And I wonder if having gone through a number of maybe disappointing or discouraging situations in their marriage where they don't feel like they have perhaps a resolve, maybe they're thinking, wow, this is not all it was cracked up to be. And I don't know if I want to stay in this. And I really think that something like a weekend, the getaway, the Family Life Weekend to Remember, sometimes a weekend like that really helps people to be able to disagree through the things that are discouraging and also learn how to build up their marriage in a way so that when they have that time of discouragement or those times of discouragement, when that honeymoon wears off, you know, that they can learn how to take care of their troubles and move those toward a place of happiness in their marriage. And yet it's going to take work. I'm appreciative that they recognize that it's going to take work. But, you know, they don't always know what is that work to look like. So often when people come to us and ask us to mentor them, we'll say, you know, we'll talk to them and we can kind of see soon like what some of the issues are, whether it's one person likes to get their own way or they're angry or whatever sin issue there is. And then they get excited when you say, oh, yes, that's exactly it. Even if it's their own issue, yes, it's my anger. That is what's causing the problem. Then they feel like we're done. But no, the problem is the next thing we have to do is learn, how do we take care of that anger? How do we manage that anger? That's where it gets hard for people. And a lot of times they just say, I don't want to do all that work. That's kind of where I feel like this couple might be.
So what do you do if your spouse looks at you? I don't even care if it's after year one, if it's after year 20 and says, you know what? I'm unhappy. What do you do?
Well, I would probably want to sit down for some conversation. There may be a point where there needs to be a mentor or a counselor in the equation somewhere along the way to help kind of get through that issue. But I feel like sometimes people say these things when they are not willing to change. And I'm not saying that we need to be willing to change in negative or bad ways, but we have to recognize that marriage is going to grow us. It's going to grow us up. It's going to grow us up more into maturity if we are willing, and if we are going to be doing the things that God is going to be asking of us. So, you know, the goal here is not or should not be that we want to be happy, but the goal should be that we want to be one in our marriage. Now, I recognize that there may be times of discouragement or even disappointment in a marriage. And, you know, disappointment might just mean like my expectations aren't being met. So you could probably say in that situation, I'm unhappy, you know, or I'm discouraged. We're kind of in a tough patch right now and we're having some troubles and it's discouraging. Well, those two things truly, with a little bit of work, are easily overcome. I think the harder of the parts of marriage is when the marriage is destructive and people are intentionally hurting one another, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual or even, just, you know, those kinds of ways where it's a hurt. Everything can't be one-sided. It has to be reciprocal. So, I mean, I've had times in our marriage where, you know, I've just been down and, you know, you're just disappointed. Life isn't going the way. It doesn't even have to be because of Joe, just life in general. And there's been times where Joe will say, what can we do? And sometimes I might say, you know, maybe if we just got away for a little bit and had a little bit of fun and did something that, you know, kind of broke the cycle of this discouragement or whatever. And sometimes that's is all that it might take for a couple to get sort of the life back in their marriage. I think doing nothing is going to do nothing. And so I think they need to try something. And we don't know if their marriage is just discouraged or disappointing, right, or if it's a very destructive marriage. And I'm not guessing that's the case here.
Yeah. You know, the fact that they're even asking these types of questions, I think, positions them to be receptive to help and to receive the counseling that they need. And they need to find someone, as Cindy said, that would be willing to listen to the whole story, not just, you know, what this one piece is that they're not happy about, but they need to listen to the whole story that led to this point of them saying what they said. And that's going to require someone like a pastor or a marriage counselor or a marriage mentors, which we're really strong advocates for finding marriage mentors for our lives. But regarding the counseling, I would say this. I said that in this particular case scenario, they need to be in the same room at the same time with that counselor if they're going to really address this issue. I mean, there may be some personal issues, like Cindy talked about earlier, about, I mean, if there are some real true anger issues or there's some real sin in these people's lives, then they need to get individual counseling. But at some point in time, they need to come together as a couple in that counseling room.
Sometimes you could be in a marriage that does not, it's not destructive, but I mean, there's nothing, I think, more destructive than indifference. You know, a lot of marriages are right in the middle. What do you do, or what are your words for people that may be listening that have a partner that's not even trying to talk, discuss, get counseling? They're just not even engaging. Maybe they're unbelievers or just, you know, aren't putting in the effort. It is not reciprocal. Sometimes, you know, your spouse can take advantage of the fact that you are there till the day you die and they get comfortable and don't engage in making the marriage better.
That's good.
And you know what? We see those. We do see those marriages, and you can almost see it on the person's face when they come up to you. It's like, I'm here, but I'm not here, you know, kind of a thing. But one of the things that Leslie Vernick talks about, and I think this is really important, is that in your marriage, you need mutuality. You need to be mutually caring for each other. You have to be mutually honest with each other, and you have to mutually respect each other. And that goes also along with mutual responsibility as well as repentance in your marriage. And I just feel like, and we probably all know this, but if just one person's going to work on it, it's probably not going to be a thriving marriage that leads to oneness, and it's not going to be a happy marriage. And so if you want a marriage that's happy, the couple has to really agree and be all in, if you will, to really having this mutuality where they're caring for each other in all the ways that I just said. And one of the things I'm going to do is, it's already up at 9:00, it's going to post. And Leslie Vernick has a list of 16 questions that she lets you take a little test. And it says, how healthy is your marriage? And so that will be on My Marriage Matters on Facebook. It will pop up at 9:00 and you can click the link. And really, it's pretty simple. And she just says, you know, if you answer yes to most of these questions, your marriage is relatively healthy. If you have one or two no answers, maybe you have some weakness. But if you have three or four, your marriage might be unhealthy. And if you have more than five, it may be a destructive marriage. So I think this test might help some people just to kind of put their marriage into a place of where do we need to start working on it. And then I say, you know, do this together. And that's where that mutuality comes in. Do this together. And if one isn't willing, then certainly the one that is willing, go to a counselor, get some direction, and then, you know, kind of find out where do you need to go next to see how this will helpfully work, and how do you then handle it? Because this could be, if that's the case, if it's just one person working on it, that is going to be difficult.
It's 7:26. We're just about out of time. Any final thoughts, Joe and Cindy, before we say goodbye?
I would just say that, you know, this couple needs to maybe even ask each other, you know, why are we unhappy right now? And begin to say to each other, let me work on this to help to make you more happy. I don't think there's anything wrong with being happy in marriage. I just don't think that's the overall goal. But we certainly do want to have happiness within marriage. Often Joe will say to me things like, how can I help around the house? What is the one thing I could do for you today that would really be helpful or that would make you happy? And then the other person has to be honest and not, you know, not snarky. You have to be, you know, sincere and be willing to work in a way that you're both working in a positive direction toward oneness in your marriage. And then lastly, I just would say we would love to have you come to My Marriage Matters on Facebook and click the thumb that you like us and you'll be a follower. We were so excited. We were kind of pushing at the end of the weekend. We were almost at 4,000 and we went over 4,000. So we have 4,005, I think, this morning.
Congratulations.
Friends. Thank you. We're so excited because so many people, I mean, daily we're seeing 2,000, 3,000 people being engaged in what we're talking about here. And we're really excited because it really matters. You know, my marriage matters.
Yeah, it does. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. God bless you guys. Always appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.